My Northland Spotlight guest on Pioneer 90.1 is Jim Jones. Jim is the Cultural Resources Director for the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council based in Bemidji and St. Paul. He spoke at the East Grand Forks campus of Northland on Monday, October 20th, and his topic of discussion at the event was Why Treaties Matter. My guest, Jim Jones.
Anin, Anin is Ayan. Majidwan, Indigenous cause, Leech Lake Pillager Band member.
Okay.
My Anishinaabe name is, as I greeted you, hello, how are you? My Anishinaabe name is Flowing Creek, and I'm from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. I currently live in Cass Lake, Minnesota. I work with the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council as the Cultural Resource Director for the Indian Affairs Council. I have an office in Bemidji, Minnesota, and I have an office in St. Paul, so I currently travel back and forth between the two. My Anishinaabe name I gave was the name that my grandfather gave me from White Earth. William Antel was the name that that my grandpa Bill gave me, and it means that flowing creek, moving, I'm always on the go. So, and that's really what I do with the council and stuff. But I was here talking today about the Why Treaties Matter exhibit, and the topic was tribes, connections, and treaties. And I gave a little history about the 11 nations that reside within Minnesota and how the treaty affected these 11 tribal nations and connections. Connections such as my individual self as an Ojibwe Pillager Band member of the Leech Lake Band, but also having connections to White Earth, Red Lake, and Leech Lake. I have family members from the White Earth Reservation. That's where my mom is currently enrolled.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was originally enrolled in Red Lake because he was born in Red Lake. And then my relative, my grandfather, was from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. The connection I have personally is with like the old crossing treaty that was signed up in the Red River Valley just to the north here, including mm-hmm. this area. And on that old crossing treaty that was signed in 1863, I can go back and trace my great-great-grandfather's name on that crossing treaty.
Wow.
You know, from 1863.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my connection to Red Lake on my dad's side. My grandfather's name was Charles Jourdain, who was originally, I believe, one of the hereditary chiefs of Red Lake. But when Chairman Jourdain, Roger Jourdain, was elected office, he had removed all the people that were associated with the former chairman and that former council, and my grandfather, unfortunately, was one of those mm-hmm. removed from that. Mm-hmm. But looking back at that old crossing document, that old treaty itself, my great-grandfather's great-great-grandfather's name is still on that document, you know. So that's the connection that I have. And then treaties and what they mean, why they matter, and how they affect 11 nations, and including myself as a tribal member. We still hunt, fish, and gather, things that people have been doing for thousands of years in Minnesota. I know that part of that as well because my background is in natural resources and archaeology, so I currently oversee the protection of burial sites across the state. So doing archaeology from the 1980s all the way up to present and stuff, you know, I see the 10,000 years of history that Minnesota represents and the connection to tribes, other nations, and how people have traveled and going all the way up to the fur trade era and how settlers moved into the area. But these trade networks, you know, when you look at, I like how the Pioneer Radio logo is that's really based on the people coming west and migrating westward from the East Coast, but mm-hmm. when you look at that from the fur trade era, people coming from Hudson Bay down the Red River Valley, Churchill River, and coming up the Mississippi and the Missouri River to establish trading posts, and later that led to posts and locations for settlers to come move into the areas and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And those trade networks were based on thousands of years of indigenous networks that were established by native people and stuff. You know, we look at finding an obsidian that's from western states where you had volcanic activity. Knife River Flint from North Dakota We get Shell from the East Coast and Gulf Coast. You know, all of those networks, and all of it's here in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. When you talk to students, what is your thrust? What do you want to get across to students?
Understanding what the relationship that the tribes have, understanding what, you know, what sovereignty means and how tribes really, really look out for, you know, enforce that, protect that sovereignty, and to better understand it and to understand your neighbors, basically, you know. And you can look at a book or you can look at a document, but to really reach out to the community and understand, and it's how we're all going to get along better. But also, and I always do this, is you reach your hand out and say, "Hi, my name is Jim, Ron, nice to meet you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it goes back to that, because it goes back to understanding who your neighbors are and who your relatives are, understanding where you're from, where you come from, but also understanding why these treaties were important in shaping of the history of the state, but the history of the nation.
In your work, do you sense that there's a lack of understanding of history in general, too much of that?
Well, you know, when you look back and when I look back at school growing up, and we had to learn history, we had to learn Constitution, we had to learn these different things, but when it came to the history of what the tribes had had influence on, you know, it's very little.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Minnesota history, you know, no one knew about Dakota uprisings in 1863 or 1862, you know. You didn't know that the Old Crossing Treaty was signed a year after the Dakota uprising, you know, that signed basically in the whole northwest corner of the state to the federal government and stuff, you know, in exchange for all of this prime land and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
farming land and stuff, you know. It's one of the great things about it, but understanding how Fort Snelling was established back in the 1800s and the first Pike Treaty was established, so that the U.S. government had a place to establish a fort in Fort Snelling. And so that first treaty was signed with the Dakota going back, and that was the Pike Treaty that allocated that area of Fort Snelling, you know. So learning about that history, and when I was growing up in school, when I came back to Minnesota from the 1970s, from Chicago, for instance, I didn't start learning about that history until after I was already out of high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, in a way, is very sad, isn't it? Because that connection is not there. Well, I wish we had more time, Jim. This is fascinating. You'll be speaking up in Thief River at Northland very soon, won't you?
Yes, I'll be up in Northland College on November 5th. And so
okay.
I encourage, and then the college has my contact information, and I'm with the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, and we can be traced through state government through.
And you have an office in Bemidji?
An office in Bemidji.
Okay. And they can contact you by what means?
Email is the best way.
Okay.
And that's jim.jones@state.mn.us.